The American South, rich ground for the arts, shade trees, sweet tea, prejudice, and poverty. Adia Victoria's debut album, Beyond the Bloodhounds, draws more from the latter. Julie Hutt of member station WPLN has this profile.
Adia Victoria Paul spent a good bit of her South Carolina childhood in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains, but you won't hear her wax nostalgic for a pastoral paradise. She remembers an unforgiving landscape.
Nature terrified me. Nature, like, the constancy of it, and it's just kind of like cold disregard for mankind. I don't think that I could ever try and all shucks that up and folksy that up. I would never disrespect what nature has meant to me and being like, oh, you know, I'm just a country girl. Here's a song.
In case you didn't catch that, the artist who goes by her first and middle names is singing about the time a river swept her precious patent leather shoes right off the bank. Those were her church shoes, and they saw a lot of use. For years, life revolved around her Seventh-day Adventist congregation. She and her siblings even attended the church school, and the hymnal was Victoria's main source of music.
So I kind of had this veil shrouded around me. But there still were small ways that the world would, like, break through the veil. Like, I remember Michael Jackson as a little girl. Like, I was like, he's not like us. Like, have you seen him dance?
She got thrust into that secular world when her single mom put her into public high school. But Victoria couldn't identify with her schoolmates' comfortable suburban lives. As a young woman of color in a family that often struggled to get by, she saw through the promise of that white picket fence.
And I just realized, okay, wait a minute. Whatever it is that you're trying to sell, I don't want this. Like, I don't want my life to look like this. And so when I went to high school, it was with this attitude of, well, okay, I have to be here by law, but I'm not going to sing and dance for you. And I'm not going to impress my teachers. I don't care about letters of recommendation.
Victoria dropped out of school and wanted out of the South altogether. She saved up for a plane ticket to Paris, determined to learn French. Then she caught a train to New York to try northern city life. But by 21, she'd moved to Atlanta and fallen for Delta blues.
I heard Black Inner Lives for the first time. I heard this kind of soundtrack to what I was already going through. I heard that, like, fully formed in these recordings where I was just like, y'all went through it too. Like, y'all fought with rivers and you've been tried, like, by the same fire that I've been tried as, you know, as a Black Southerner. And I was a ghost at that time in Atlanta. I was just like, I need someone to tell me who I am. Like, I need to see what I'm going through, like, out there. And so I had to go back about 80 years, but I found it.
First, she only played songs for her cat. After she joined her mom and sisters in Nashville, they overheard her singing and started requesting their favorites. But it took an awakening for Victoria to get serious about putting her music out there.
When I saw that the things that I was singing about and that were frustrating me, I was seeing it played out on the news, like with the Black Lives Matter movement and Trayvon Martin and Sandra Bland and Tamir Rice, where I was just like, okay, I have to say something. Now I have to put myself out there. And because my art is speaking to what's happening now. And so I was just like, here it is.
But the only road I know is
Victoria's presence was so powerful that drummer Tiffany Mitten offered to join her band before she'd even heard the music. Just talking with Victoria made that much of an impact.
Because what she's saying is challenging for a lot of people, particularly white people, which tends to be a lot of our audience. And so it draws them to a place of defensiveness or disconnection. And I think she's able to challenge them with grace and dignity, but also with, you know, a fierceness without apology. And I love that she stands up for herself and her artistic vision.
By now, Victoria's used to catching audiences off guard. Instead of, say, an R&B diva, they see a black woman commanding attention with her electric guitar.
But I think it's just that we were so silenced that people don't know what to do with a black woman unless it is displayed to them, given to them in a way to consume that they are already familiar with.
Say you're looking for something, make you feel new. You don't believe in God, ha! Whiskey will do. Say you're looking for something, make you feel new. You don't believe in God, well, whiskey will do.
With her first full-length album, the 29-year-old wanted to find the musical language for what she felt at age 6 and 17 and 23.
And I think that I sing now with more conviction. I feel more sure about my words. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're flattering, because, I mean, I know a lot of the songs don't paint me as a great person. That's not what I'm here for. But I feel the agency to own the experiences that I went through and not have to be like, sorry, sorry.
Then again, Adia Victoria's really never been one to apologize for who she is. For NPR News in Nashville, I'm Julie Height.
Yeah, you ask me a question, I'll tell you a lie.